Okay, Rabbi, so I hope all is good. Today's daf is Kiddushin Daf Gimel, and we are still analyzing the text in the Mishnah. Excuse me, we had been talking about why it says Drachim instead of Dvarim, right? That a woman can be married in three ways as opposed to three things. The Gemara had quoted a couple other places where it says Drachim and asked for a specific reason, right? We gave some reasons why it says it here in our Mishnah. Why does it say it by Zav? And now, finally, we're going to ask, I think, one last question, and that's another Mishnah that says the word drachim, and then we're going to go on to other issues. So let's see. We're here two lines up on Beis Omer Beis V'Hadetanan. Right, again, we're still talking about this drachim dvarim thing. The Gemara says V'Hadetanan Esrog Shavel Ilan Begimel Drachim. Right, it says that an esrog is like a tree in three ways. Now, what in the world does that mean? So just to clarify what's going on over here, right? First of all, we're talking about an esrog, obviously an esrog fruit, and talking about the fruit, right, of a tree. Now, what does that mean? So let's look at Rashi. Rashi is very helpful in the next 10 minutes or so. If you look at Rashi, Begimel Derachim, right? There are three things that a tree has in terms of its produce, as opposed to, let's say, grains that grow from the ground or vegetables or whatever. So if you look at Gimel Derachim, Orla Urevai Noeg Boki Ilan, that an esrog has the halachas of Orla and Revai. Now, before we get into this whole discussion, you'd be like, if you've ever seen an esrog grow, it grows on a tree. So why would you ever think it's like a vegetable or like grains or grapes or whatever? So we'll see in a second that it's similar to vegetables halachically, right, in one important way, right, and that will give it characteristics of both. But anyway, so the Mishnah here says that the esrog is like a tree in three ways. What is that? So two of them, Orla and Revai, right, the first 3 years of a tree's life, you can't use the fruit, and Revai, right, the fourth year, you bring it to Yerushalayim. And Noeg Boki Ilan, and just getting Vayter and Rashi over here, Le'inyan Shvius, in terms of Shemitah, Holchem Beperozov Achar Achanata Ki Ilan, V'lo Achar Lekita Ki Yerek. In terms of Shemitah, when do we judge that a fruit is quote unquote born or is Peros Shvius? What do you use? So it depends on what we're talking about, right? There's a difference in halacha in terms of the fruit of a tree and a vegetable, right? Again, in terms of the chanata, right, in terms of chanata is the budding, right, when it kind of buds. So that's like a tree. That's how we use to determine which esrogim are shayach to Shemitah, which is why you always have issues for lulav and esrog in the year following Shemitah, because the esrogim grew right the year before, then you have to do this whole song and dance type of thing with you can't buy it, etc. Right, and that's still a big problem. But by a vegetable, that goes the year that it is born, quote unquote, is determined by when it is picked. So anytime they are vegetables, whenever they are picked, if they're picked during Shemitah, so that's when they are Shemitah produce. Okay, so anyway, but again, the question of the Gemara says, it says three ways. It's Gimel Drachim. Why does it not say Dvarim? So the Gemara, back in the Gemara, says, Mishum Dibainon Misni Seifa. Because we want to get to the language of the Seifa and parallel that to the Resha. Uli Yerek Baderech Echad. It's similar to a vegetable in one way. So what is that? If you look at Rashi, so Bishas Lekitoso Isuro. That if you take Trumas and Maestros, right, we judge based on when it is picked. Because we don't, the one way that it's similar to vegetables is that when we're taking trumas and maestros, we don't view the budding, right, the time as the key phrase, the key moment in time in the esrog's life. We go based on when it is picked to determine what year, right, it belongs to. Right, you're not allowed to take the halachas. You're not allowed to take trumas and maestros from one year's produce for another year's produce. So when do you judge that? So again, for vegetables is when it's picked, and by a fruit, right, it's when it buds. So by esrog, even though you tell me that it's similar to a tree, trees that come from the fruit that comes from the trees in three ways, the one difference is by trumas and maestros. The three ways were Orla, Revai, and Shemitah, but by Trumas and Maestros, you go based on when it is picked. Okay, so that's Derech Echad. So the Gemara, that's why we wanted to use the word Derech, right? And therefore we wanted to parallel the Resha, so we say Drachim, right, in both ways, because it's similar to a vegetable in one way. So the Gemara asks the obvious question, Seifa Nami Nisni Dover. So why do you need the word Derech in the Seifa, where it says it's similar to a vegetable You just say it's similar to vegetable in one thing, not one way. The Gemara is teaching, the Mishnah is teaching us that it's the way of the Esrog that causes it to be similar to the vegetable in halachos of Trumus or Maestro. So Amad Yerek Darko Ligodel Al Komayim Ubishas the Kitoso Isuro Af Esrog Darko Ligodel Al Komayim Ubishas the Kitoso Isuro. Because an Esrog is more similar to a vegetable than the fruits of a tree, right, in an important way, in the way that it is watered. Right, if you look at Rashi over here, right, second Rashi on Gimel and Aleph, right, Shemashkin also b'mayim shuvim kiyarek, that fields are generally watered by two different ways. Right, first of all, is rainwater, but also irrigation water, water that you pipe in from the rivers, etc. So a yerek, vegetables are very often are used, you know, used both. And apparently, again, not that I know this, but apparently this is the Gemara saying that they would use both, and esrogim also will use both. Now, in terms of trumas and maizers, just to back up a second, trumas and maizers Rashi already here quotes, apply d'oraisa to grains and to vineyards, and midirabanan it applies to other produce as well. So let's just read the Rashi just to get a bigger picture over here. Hanu time of the Yerek, the whole reason why a vegetable goes based on when it's picked is because it is used it uses this mayim shuvim, this irrigated water, in addition to rainwater. Like Gemara says, Rashan daf yidalid, Goren v'yekev, k'siv gabi meiser, right, k'dar g'men agoren, that's the quote from the Pasuk. So the meiser, trumas and meiser, the Pasuk says that it applies to grains and vineyards. Ma goren v'yekev miuchodim, And grains and vineyards are unique. Shegedolin al rov mayim, that means that they are used uniquely rainwater. The hainu gishamim, as Rashi says, in rainwater. Umis asrin, and then therefore you take trumas and maestros achrei hashana sheavra, and therefore you take trumas and maestros corresponding to the last year, the year that passed. Like the Gemara says, Rosh Hashanah, Tazlin bas Hashana sheviru shlishba, because you therefore, since it's used through rainwater, it's watered through rainwater, you judge its year of Trumas and Maestros in the year that it grew, the first third of its growth, right? That's the ikar growth of a fruit, to when we're going to see whether it's going to grow to its, when it's going to mature properly or not. So the first third, when it is grown, that's the year you're going to take Trumas and Maestros. V'lo achar l'kitos, are not based on when it's picked. V'alfim l'mikroi, we use that based on psukim. So therefore, similarly, af kol shegedolin al rov mayim, so too any other produce that is going to be watered through rainwater. Dahainu, in other words, similar, i.e., in other words, ilanos, trees, right, fruit trees. Misasrin l'sha'avar, also take Trumas and Maestros in the previous year. D'afagav d'maestro d'du d'rabananu, even though that Meiser on fruit trees is Rabbanon as Mechinu Akroi. They base that based on Psukim. Yatsu Yirakos, and that excludes vegetables, Shegedolin al Ka'olmayim, that takes its nourishment from all water, both rainwater and irrigated water, and therefore Ms. Aser Lashana Haba, and the vegetables are therefore, their Trumas and Meisers are calculated to the next year, i.e. the year that they were picked. So since Esrogim are similar to vegetables in that manner, that's why the Halacha ends up like that, and therefore it's similar to trees in three ways and similar to a vegetable, right, in one way, since it's that's the reason why it's similar to a vegetable. And the way that it kind of uses rainwater and irrigation water, it's derech ligadol. The way it grows is similar to vegetables. That causes the difference in halacha, and that's why we wanted to use the word derech. Okay, fine. Another possibility, says the Gemara, v'aditznan. What about the following Mishnah? A koi is a safik behema safik chaya. Koi is an interesting animal. We're not sure if it's a behema or a chaya. Well, who cares whether it's a behema or a chaya, how it's classified? Well, there are different halachos for a behema as an achaya, as we're going to point out right now, right? Koy yishlo drachim shava l'chaya v'yishlo drachim shava l'behema. Right? It's similar to a chaya, not wild, but a chaya in one way. An example of a chaya, by the way, is like a deer, and a behema is like sheep, goat, and oxen, etc. So it's similar to a chaya in one way, similar in some ways, and similar to a behema in other ways. Yishlo, what is that? So shava l'chaya, it's similar to a chaya v'ton kizei adam, and therefore it requires covering of the blood. Right? Again, when you shecht a chaya, let's say a chaya or an oaf, a bird, or let's say a deer, so you have to cover the blood that comes out of the neck. You don't have to do that by a behemah, by a goat or a sheep or whatever. So it's similar to a chaya in that it requires kisui adam, but it's similar to a behemah as well. It's a chelvo osir, that it's chelev is osir. The chelev is some of the fats, and a behemah is osir. That's not true of a chaya. Yesh bo drachim shava l'chaya ula behemah. There are ways that a koi, back in the Gemara, is similar to both of them. What is that? That's because Tom Shechita, they have to shecht it. V'yesh bo drachim she'inu shava lo l'chaya v'lo behema. There are some things about this koi that's not similar to either one. What is that? So if you peek over at Rashi, asar harba in behema v'chaya, you're not allowed to interbreed it. You're not allowed to mate it with either a behema or a chaya. And there's nidvarim. And so we're saying, all these drachim, why do you use the word derech? You could use the word davar. V'su, and furthermore, hadithnan, it also says, zu achas min drachim shavu giti nachshim shechura avadim, right back to our last mesachta, right at the beginning of the mesachta. These are one of the ways that a get is similar to a shtar shechura for an eved. This nidvarim, why do we use the word derech? You could just use the word davar. If you have all these reasons for why we use the word derech, what's the reason by those cases? So Gemara kind of revises it and says, "No, ella kol hechadiki plug the tani drachim. Anytime you have a machlokas, use the word derech." As you look at Rashi, chiluk bedrachav, right? Bederech zu hu doma lekan, bederech zu doma lekan. Anytime you're going to split, right? You're going to have some like this, some like that, or some like this, some like that. So therefore, doesn't mean this is a machlokas. It means that anytime you're going to have a split in the halacha, right? Let's say by an esrog, right? It's three ways similar to a tree, it's three ways and one way similar, right, to vegetables. So as you're going to see over here in a second, right? That's really the hemshach of the Gemara over here. Rashi quotes, right? Rashi explains, right? Just further in that Rashi, because we're about to say that you can marry a woman in three ways, that excludes chuppah, the lo kanyan, and that doesn't work. And by zav also, that you can only have the halachas of checking a zav only apply to a zav and not to a zav, as we mentioned yesterday, etc., etc. You can look at the Rashi for the rest of it. So therefore, anytime you're going to have some sort of split, not necessarily machlokas, but a split, and sometimes we go like this, and sometimes we go like that, sometimes halachas like this, sometimes halachas like that, therefore we're going to say drachim. And anytime things are uniform, we're going to say the word devarim. And digging, I mean, it makes a lot of sense. That whenever you're not going to have a split, right, you're going to have davar, because the katani sefer, Rabbi Elazar Omer, esrog shavel ilan l'chol davar. Like, and what does it say at the end of that case of an esrog? That Rabbi Elazar disagrees and said an esrog is like a tree in every davar, not every derech, but every davar, right? It's uniform, it's just like a tree, and all the halachas are crossed. Therefore, we didn't use the word derech, we used the word davar, and therefore, shema mina. Right, therefore, that teaches us that derech is used when you have a split in halachas, and davar is used when it is uniform. Okay, back to our Mishnah. Minyan d'reish l'mutei mai, minyan d'seifa l'mutei mai. If you notice, the Mishnah had pointed out, right, a woman is married in three ways and gets unmarried in two ways. So why do we mention that? Right, we could have counted. Right, the Gemara then elaborates and delineates, right, three ways: kesef, shtar, and bia. We could have counted. You didn't need to tell me there's three of them. So whenever the Mishnah does that, a light should go off on your head. Gemara almost always asks about this, and the Gemara, sure enough, here does. It says, what's it excluding? Minyana deresha lemute chuppah. To exclude chuppah, that you can do kiddushin. Again, as we mentioned, there are two stages in the marriage. A Jewish marriage is kiddushin or erisin. That's the first stage. And nisuin, which is the second stage. Chuppah we use for nisuin. You might have thought you can also use it for kiddushin, that would work. So therefore, the Mishnah is excluding this, that our Tana holds that you cannot. But Rav Huna holds that chuppah does work for kiddushin, so according to him, how does he read the Mishnah? So lamutei chalipin, to exclude chalipin, a kind of chalipin that you're familiar with perhaps from mechiras chametz, basically that you kind of take someone else's item and you acquire it. Usually you give it back to them. Usually it's called this kinyan sudar. Very often it's a handkerchief. Sometimes it's a pen. Whatever is handy. You do some sort of action. You're taking someone else's item to show that you agree to whatever the terms of the deal are. Right, again, the most common one, as I mentioned, is mechiras chametz. Usually the rov will do a kinyan chalipin and to show that he is now the shliach, right, to sell a present chametz. So we're excluding chalipin. You cannot get married through chalipin. Why would you think you could? So you might have thought to say, "Hol gmar kicha kicha mistayafon." If you remember yesterday, That's the source. How do you know you can marry a woman with kesef? Because of kicha kicha gzer shava kach kach from Avram buying the maris machpelah from Avram. Mas de mekani bechalipin af yishli nami kani bechalipin. Just like you can acquire a field through chalipin, so you might have thought that works for a woman as well. So therefore, kamash malon, right? The Mishnah teaches us that it does not. I have emachinami. So the Gemara says, well, why not? I mean, you didn't give me a reason. You just told me that it doesn't. Right? Well, maybe it does. Right, and so the Gemara says, no, chalipin, it's ne'eva b'pachas m'shava pruta. There's no requirement of at least a pruta by a kinyan chalipin. By kiddushin there is, right, as we mentioned yesterday. V'ishim b'pachas m'shava pruta, lo b'kanyan afsha, right, she is not going to give herself over, she's not going to agree to get married if she's getting less than a shava pruta, right, in return. Okay, fine. Minyana de seifa mutei chalitza. Right, in the seifa, when we talked about a woman getting unmarried, right, why do you have to mention there's only two of them? That excludes chalitza. Chalitza does not work to break up a regular marriage. Why would you think that would work? Because you might have thought to say that tasei b'chal v'chomer mi yevama, right, that you have a chal v'chomer from yevama, because my yevama, just like by yevama in a yotze v'get, yotze b'chalitza, right, to break up a zika between a yavam and a yevama, the only thing it can do is chalitza. A get does not work. So zushi, that's a beget. In the case of a regular marriage, though, that a get does work, ain't a dinshi, that's a bechalita. You might have thought the chalita is more powerful than a get, right? So in a case where a get doesn't work, chalita works. In a case where a get does work, surely chalita should work. So therefore, kamash malon, and therefore the Mishnah taught us that it does not. Hey, menachanami, why doesn't it work? Right? Maybe it should. So kamash says, amakra, sefer krisos, sefer korta, ve'im devar acher korta, right? Again, we did that in Mesechus Gittin, right? It's only a safer that rips up the marriage, that kind of breaks up the marriage, nothing else. Okay, but kesef, a woman can be married through kesef minolan. Says the Gemara, how do you know that? Now we kind of asked that already. Gemara by kicha kicha mista Ephron. So again, the Rishonim deal exactly why the Gemara is asking again. Maybe this is the real mukar. Maybe it's not. The last part was just parenthetically. Okay, fine. Minali, how do you know that kesef works? Vasu, and also another question that I'll ask you about kiddushei kesef. How did not this that which we learned in the Mishnah? Right, Mishnah not here. Mishnah in Ksuba, a couple places in Ksubas. Right, Av Zaka Bebito Bekidusha. A father is able to marry off his Ketana daughter, the Kesef Shtar Bevia. Right, he's able to acquire her through any one of those three ways. How do you know that A, he can marry her with money, and B, that he gets the money. The Kesef De'avua, who that the money goes to the father. So we're going to have a bunch of possibilities over here. We're not going to come to a conclusion today. Right? Tomorrow we're going to go back to the first suggestion, right, and conclude that that's actually what we answer. But right now we're going to have a couple of possibilities, and we're not going to get there yet. So anyway, first possibilities. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Damakra. Pasuk says V'yatza chinam ein kasef, that she goes free. There is no money. Right, what's that case? So if you look at Rashi, right, Gabe Ama Ivria, right, case of an Ama Ivria, if a father sells his daughter, who's a Ketana, to a wealthy family as a servant, so when she becomes a Nara, when she hits 12, so then again, just the statuses of a woman, right, she's a Ketana until 12, she's a Nara until 12 and a half, and a Bogeris after 12 and a half, that's in broad strokes, but that's basically the delineations. So when a woman becomes when the girl becomes a nara, she goes free from her nara amura, from her ama ivria status. She goes free from being a maid servant. The pasuk there says she goes out for free in kasef. There is no money. Well, obviously, right? Again, reminiscent of the drasha by Yosef. Yosef got thrown in a pit. Va'bor reik. The pit was empty. Ein bo mayim. There was no water. And Rashi points out there was no water, but there were snakes and scorpions. So something over here. If she goes out for free, obviously there is no money. So the Gemara darshins in kasef la donzeh. You're right. There's no money for this master. There's no the guy who bought the ama ivria, the wealthy guy, doesn't get any money for when she gets released. Avo yesh kasef la don acher. But there is money to another master. Nihu, who is that? Av, that's the father, right, when he marries off, right, his daughter. The Gemara says, one second, well, that just tells me, right, that the father, right, can marry her off with kesef. Right, that doesn't tell me where the money goes. Maybe she should get the money. So Gemara says, Haki Ashta, that doesn't make sense. Avia Mikabo Kiddushah, the father is the one who accepts the Kiddushin, right, from the potential husband. Dichtiv, because the Pasuk says, as we see that Tati Elisha Zeh, right, the Pasuk says, the father says, I gave, right, my daughter to this guy. That context is, I think, Motzi Shemra. He didn't want, the father says, I gave my daughter to this guy and he didn't like her. Okay. But either way, the father is able to give his daughter over for Kiddushin. V'i Shakar Kaspa, and she's going to take the money, right? The father's the one who's in charge of this transaction. Why in the world would she get the money? The Gemara says, V'imahani Mili Ketana. Well, maybe that only applies to a katana. The less like Yad Lakawa Kiddushin. Because a katana can't marry herself off. Aval Nara, but a Nara is 12 years old. She's a full-fledged gedola. To Isla Yad Lakawa Kiddushin, she could marry herself off, you know, to whoever she wants. Maybe she should get the money. So the Gemara says, Amakra, no, Binurea Besavia, Kol Shvach Neurim Lavia. The Pasuk says, Binurea Besavia, right, when a daughter is in her father's domain, right, that teaches me that anything that that's talking about, that context is Hafaras Nedarim, which we're actually going to point out that it's only talking about Hafaras Nedarim. Okay, one second. But basically, the by Binureha, when a woman is a Nara, she is Bebeis Aviyah, she's in her father's house, and therefore the Gemara Darshins, Kol Shvach Neurim Laviyah, anything she brings in, anything she makes, right, that goes to her father. So it says, "Elva hada amar avuna marav minayin shemaisa habas la'av." One second. Well, the pasuk, the Gemara asks, right, Rav Yehuda amarav said, "How do you know that a father gets right his daughter's maaseyadeh, his daughter's salary, produce, whatever she makes?" Shnamar, the pasuk says, not our pasuk, but the pasuk says, "V'chim kor ish es bito la'ama." It says that father sells his daughter as a maidservant. Just like whatever a maidservant does, produces, that goes to the master, so too, right, a nara that makes stuff goes to the father. Typically, I mean, Rabbi Savia. One second, if you tell me that the source for that should have been Rabbi Savia, that anything that the nara does when she's in Beis Avia goes to the father. So the reason we didn't bring that pasuk there, right, by the kit, while you're trying to prove that a father gets his daughter's produce, we brought a different pasuk of Kiim Kor Ish Es Bito. So why don't we bring Binarebe Savia? Because that context is Hafaras Nedarim, that a father is able to annul his daughter's vows. Right? So how can I so do over here? That shouldn't tell us anything, right, about the fact that a Nara should not be able to keep her Kesef Kiddushin because Hafaras Nedarim Udukhtiv. Because that pasuk is only talking about Hafaras Nedarim and nothing else. So we're back to the question of how do you know that the father, right, gets the money if a Nara marries herself off, or if the father marries off, rather, right, speaking more accurately, the father marries off a Nara. And if you'll tell me, Nelef Minei, right, maybe we should learn from there, from the fact that a father can cancel his daughter's vows, her Nedarim, right, so too he gets the money. We don't learn halachos of mamon, right, of monetary cases from an Isser, right? The first Nedarim is Isser v'heter, right? There are different realms, right, in halacha, right? We call things Osir Mutter, right? Chayiv Potter, right? There are different phrases we use because there are different realms of halacha. One thing you can't learn, you can't necessarily learn, usually we don't learn, money to cases of Isser v'heter, right? Just because there's something that is true about Isser v'heter, that a father can cancel, right, his daughter's vows, doesn't mean necessarily that he is entitled to, you know, certain monetary benefits. So you can't learn money from Isser. V'chitem ha'nelef miknasa, maybe you should learn it from a knas, from the fact that the father gets the money if his daughter is raped or seduced. We also don't learn money from knas. Money, this is the marriage, kiddushin is a monetary, as we pointed out, is a monetary, that kesef kiddushin is a monetary transaction. The money paid for Rachmana Litzlan, a rape or seduction, is a fine on the guy who did it. So a fine is different. So a fine is a punishment. It's not necessarily a monetary, halachic transaction. Maybe you should learn from the fact that the father gets the boshes and the pagam, right, when a person, Rachmana Litzlan, rapes somebody. They don't just pay the 50 or silver coins to the father. They also have to pay for damages. Boshes is embarrassment for the daughter. Pagam, damages, that she has now gone through this and she may be worth less on the open market or in the shidduch market. So maybe you should learn from that payment that the father gets, that just like he gets that, he also gets her kiddushin. So Gemara says, "Shani boshes pagam davu ashech begavaya." Those two are unique to the father. That is that he, because he could make the daughter, right, embarrassed and quote unquote damage her, as Rashi says. Very interesting, right, and this is already, there's a lot of love the shazach on this, but just to mention Rashi, the father, if you look at Davu Ashaych Begavayu, Yeshlo Din Chelek Bahem, apparently the father has a stake, has a claim in the boshas and the payment for embarrassing, and the pagam and the potential damages, right, of a rape. Why? She yesh biyado levaisha ulpogma, because he could embarrass her and damage her bishvil mamon for money. How could he do that? Not, God forbid, that he should rape her. But she yidnu lo di ibai, if he wants, he could give her to maser la lamenuvol mukashchin. But he could marry her off. Right? When the father marries off the daughter, she doesn't necessarily have a say in the matter. So if a father could marry off someone who's disgusting, some hideous, repulsive guy, tavrelei boshes ubegam, that would be embarrassing, and also that would damage her, because they, you know, she would have to be his wife, and he would have to be with her. So that's basically. So that is also shaykh to the father as well. You can't learn necessarily kesef kiddushin from those two cases, because the father has almost a stake, right, or claim, right, in those two payments, and his claim and his ability to do that to the daughter, right, is affected, is like almost like impacted, right? His ability to do that, it's very silly, not silly, chas shalom, but it's very difficult thing to understand, but his ability to embarrass his daughter is lessened when someone, Rahman al-Salam, rapes her, so therefore the father is more shaykh to that payment because he has been affected as in some way as well. So therefore, we're going to come back tomorrow, Mr. Shem, when we go back there, we're going to come back to the original source that we had, right, and learn that that's where we know that the father gets the money, and etc., etc. We'll go keep on talking about this topic, Mr. Shem. Have a great day or night, depending on when you're listening to this.